You are listening to CKMS News on 102.7 FM. I am Dan Keller, and this show was first aired November 17, 2023. On October 30th, ACORN, the grassroots social and economic justice organization, with chapters across the country, delivered over 400 tenant testimonials to federal Liberal MPs. This action coincided with ACORN's national housing spokesperson, Tanya Buchart, giving testimony to the National Housing Council's review panel on the financialization of purpose-built rental housing. Buchart's testimony highlighted the effects on renters created by the stress of living in a precarious housing market, which has been transformed over the past decades into an investment industry with profit-seeking constantly driving up housing and rental prices. Today's show features interviews with Acer Bonaparte, the chair of the Waterloo Region chapter of ACORN, and Mike Morris, the Green Party MP for Kitchener Centre, who has been pressuring the government over the ongoing crisis in the affordability of housing in Canada since being elected in 2021. Additionally, Jordy Dent of the Federation of Metro Tenants Associations, which advocates for better rights for tenants, adds comments on the financialization of housing. For the purposes of this review, the National Housing Council is using the Federal Housing Advocate's definition of the financialization of housing, which is, quote, the growing dominance of financial actors in the housing sector, which is transforming the main function of housing from a place to live into a financial asset and a tool for investor profits, unquote. The definition continues, quote, these may include asset management companies, hedge funds, pension funds, private equity funds, real estate investment trusts, real estate operating companies, and sovereign wealth funds, unquote. The National Housing Council, which refers to reports commissioned by the Federal Housing Advocate, adds, quote, the financialization of purpose-built rental housing has been linked to a range of negative impacts for renters, such as evictions, rising rents, and reduced building services and maintenance, unquote. On this point, the National Right to Housing Network, a grassroots tenants' rights organization also focusing on the national panel, explains, quote, financialization of housing refers to the treatment of housing primarily as a financial asset and a tool for maximizing investor profit at the expense of human rights among tenants and tenancy-seeking individuals, unquote. This show focuses on the financialization of the housing market, immediate steps which could be taken to start addressing the affordability crisis, and the longer-term role of government in creating and maintaining an affordable and quality housing supply to meet the needs of growing populations. We start with Acer Bonaparte, who was asked about ACORN's participation in the hearings.
Hi, my name is Acer Bonaparte. I am the chair of Waterloo Region ACORN. Over the last few months, the National Housing Council created a review panel on the financialization of housing, and ACORN, at our last National Day of Action earlier in the summer, collected over 400 tenant testimonies from across Canada on how they have experienced financialized housing. And we provided that, along with some stories at Monday's hearing, to them. And the way it affects us more locally is that from the hearing, we're looking forward to having new evidence to bring towards the federal government to show them that financialized housing isn't working and it's leaving a lot of people behind.
With ACORN organizing locally, you're finding that's the case locally as well. People are being left behind.
Oh, yeah, definitely. New data from the National Housing Council has shown that almost 0% of housing in Ontario of new units is affordable.
ACORN as an organization locally, what are you hoping to get out of the participation with these federal hearings?
Honestly, ties in more with our national demands, and this will have a trickle-down effect directly to the local municipalities, which would be specifically for this, ensuring that any public money given to private developers is used to create housing for people who are in core housing need and to fund social housing to ensure that low-income people have access to affordable housing, as well as creating a fund so that co-ops, nonprofits, land trusts, and tenants can acquire at-risk apartment buildings, to regulate banks, CMHC, and public pension funds to stop financing corporate landlords who purchase up housing with the intent to increase rents and displace people, and to mandate rent control across all provinces to de-incentivize landlords from evicting long-term tenants to raise the rents above guideline increases.
Did Acorn KW take part directly in the hearings in Ottawa?
We collected testimonies from people across Canada, and those were given directly to the hearing. Nobody from our chapter did do a delegation at the hearing, but that was included in our submission. And just the Monday at our day of action, we provided that to the Waterloo MP Bartosz Chagger's office.
What was the response from government when you handed in these testimonies and from the hearing?
They were, honestly, I believe, pretty shocked to hear how it is living in financialized housing. People more likely to live with bed bugs, mold, disrepair, people with insane rents. And one of the things that the report found was that over 550,000 units of affordable housing were lost between 2011 and 2021, while the $40 billion national housing strategy had a target to produce only 150,000 new affordable units over 10 years from 2017.
So you say we've lost affordable housing while even our local governments are touting their new builds with 5% or 2% affordable housing.
Oh yeah, that is nowhere near enough. We need closer to 20%, and their definition of affordable housing is too nebulous. For one, it's tied to market rate rent, which changes all the time, and it's unattainable. Like, I believe it's, 80%? It should be 30% of a minimum wage worker's full-time earnings.
Well, we wait for government to take in what they've heard in these hearings to put forth new policy. What could be done in the interim, like immediately, to help renters?
We definitely have to continue pressuring the very local governments to really consider in their planning when a landlord wants to, renovate, you really consider whether that landlord needs those permits. We need to keep up on those landlords and make sure that they know that their decisions aren't going to go and be swept under the rug. And we just need to be there for tenants and let them know that somebody's in their corner and willing to fight for them.
What's next for Acorn Kitchener-Waterloo?
Right now, we've been setting up meetings with Kitchener City Councillors to gather support for our campaign demands of a rent eviction bylaw and landlord licensing. And once we're more sure of where our allies are and where the people against it are, we're going to find a councillor and push forward with those demands and hopefully get those passed.
Anything else you want to mention about the federal hearings?
People should read the report and see the effects.
And is that posted up on Acorn's webpage?
I believe it is. It's also on the National Housing Council's website.
All right, we'll link to it in our piece.
Now, Jordy Dent of the Federation of Metro Tenants Associations provides some insight into what financialization looks like in practice and the effects on renters.
Financialization can be hard to explain because there's a couple definitions of it. But generally, when I talk about the financialization of housing, it's kind of bringing in a model that just tries to extract the maximum amount you can from a building, and kind of having things be geared to maximizing the value on paper rather than actually necessarily maximizing the value, like in terms of actual money coming in. One of the effects that you'll see, for example, sometimes is that landlords will empty a building. They will try to kind of almost completely clear it out because they feel that selling it with like a lower vacancy or no vacancy makes it more valuable. Like, this is a building that could be having lots of passive income and making a mint, but instead they feel it's more valuable to leave it empty. You're seeing a little bit of that. The other element of financialization is kind of also who owns the housing. A lot of housing has been owned by corporations, but you all of a sudden start to get like these kind of large pension funds or real estate investment trusts, and they have almost no connection to the buildings, in a sense that a lot of times they won't have ensuite supers anymore. They'll send repair people, but there's no one observing the grounds or kind of keeping track of anything, all based on tenant complaints. And like then the quality of the building just starts to deteriorate. Again, they then start to have a process for example, only doing in-suite maintenance. So once they like kick out and push out an older tenant, they'll renovate indoors, put in a new stainless steel fridge. They'll have like a kind of a cookie cutter, try to make it look high end, track the rent 2.5 times. But then like the kind of internal or like building foundation kind of stuff, They're not really looking at that, really. And then a lot of times they start to do things that allow them to charge a lot of aggies, but they're not necessarily doing it because they have to. So you'll see these weird scenarios where, like, a landlord will start, like, replacing balconies kind of on a scale that doesn't seem to make any sense, unless the tenants know how to fight that and kind of bring up that previous aggie that they're kind of still paying for. You'll get them to start to, like, do weird things like that, like replacing balconies just so they can say to an international investor that they've been recently replaced. But financialization, yeah, it's been getting worse. You've definitely seen a larger kind of intrusion by companies, huge growing of their portfolios. 10 years ago, real estate investment trusts are owned a certain number, like financialized landlords owned a certain number. And then the growth has just been explosive since then. But again, a lot of this depends on how you define it.
Finally, we hear from Green Party MP Mike Morris, who starts by responding to the tenant testimonies and applauds the work of tenant advocacy groups before we get into other discussion.
It's deep appreciation for the advocacy, whether it's those with lived experience or others who are deeply concerned with the reality of the housing crisis in our community. It's clear that we're going to need to advocate to all levels of government to move more quickly, and in particular, provincial and federal governments. It's been about 30 years now we've seen a retrenchment in investment in housing. It used to be, right? Like in the 1970s, 40% of all housing starts had a federal subsidy of some kind. It's part of how we got the co-op housing and social housing stock built that we did. And as we've seen in the last 30 years, we're now down to, we're the bottom of the G7. Only 3.5% of all housing stock in this country is social housing. And we're seeing the results of that in our community. And it's so important that we collectively raise our voices to say enough is enough. We've seen the folks living unsheltered. There's three times as many people living unsheltered in our community over just the last 3 years. That's unacceptable. And it's on government to step up and do more. And like I said, in particular, provincial and federal governments that we need to see step up, not only, as you mentioned, to address the financialization of housing, but also investments in housing and specifically deeply affordable, supportive housing that we so badly need.
Just the other day, there was announcements federal dollars are flowing locally for new construction builds, which are to be completed, years from now. What can the federal government do right now to help people immediately during this crisis? You know, it's going on right now, and it's, in part because of the financialization of housing and, of course, the lack of new federal support since that period ran out where they were supporting housing builds.
Yep, you're absolutely right. Right now, they could commit to a level of transformational funding that we haven't seen for decades. They can commit to making it permanent, ongoing, sustainable funding for housing. For example, the announcement we saw in our community last week, those dollars came from Budget 2022. And that's an important fund. It's from the Housing Accelerator Fund. It's a $1.5 billion fund. It is helping, but the reality is that the gap that CMHC has told us we have in this country, this is a third party, nonpartisan, they're telling us the gap is 3.5 million homes. It's about how quickly we move and how consistently we do so. As I mentioned, that particular announcement came from Budget 2022. Guess how much funding was set aside for housing in Budget 2023? $0. Can you imagine our local government, regional council, or the city of Kitchener taking a year off from investing in housing? It would never happen. People would be lined up outside council chambers. It would never happen. Yet we allow it to happen with our federal government. The only new announcement for housing in last year's budget was for really important funding for Indigenous communities, but they backloaded the funds. None of them are to be spent for several years still. And so specifically answering your question, Dan, for example, the Rapid Housing Initiative, of which there's been three rounds of, calling for that to be recapitalized immediately. Let's get Rapid Housing Initiative round four open tomorrow. Nonprofits have been calling for an acquisition fund. All across our community, we're losing deeply affordable housing to large corporate landlords who are buying them up, renovating them and selling them back on the market at higher costs. We have nonprofits in our community who would be keen to purchase those units and keep them affordable. It's why Acorn and so many others have called for this acquisition fund. It's why I've helped raise this really important call also. The federal government could announce an acquisition fund in the fall economic statement that we're expecting later this month. So there's plenty of examples of, you know, specific funds of what it could look like. But ultimately, we need to see ongoing and sustained investments, while we also need to see measures taken to address financialization.
Acorn has called for the government to lead the way in building swaths of non-market affordable housing. Do you support that call?
Well, not only do I support it, but we need to have the level of ambition at a pace that's going to match the crisis to kind of meet the moment we're in. So I've been calling for at least doubling our social housing stock. Even if we did that, as I mentioned earlier, we're down to 3.5%. So it's gotten so bad for so long, even if we doubled our social housing stock, we'd still be middle of the pack amongst our G7 peers at a 7% social housing across the country. Even that wouldn't be enough, but it would be a transformational return to housing investments the way we haven't seen from a federal government for many decades. And so we need to continue to make that call. We've even had the governor of the Bank of Canada make clear that investments in housing are not inflationary before others might try to raise that point. This is the funding we need to meet people's basic needs at a time when we are in a crisis that now all parties in the House of Commons agree on. So strongly support that call. Acorn has been an incredible voice in making sure that we center people with lived experience in this conversation. We've talked a lot about the investments we need. I want to just give one example, at least when it comes to addressing financialization, because, you know, this is the difference. When I think about my parents and when they bought their first home in the 70s versus what we and those younger than us, what they're looking at, you know, people now are competing with pension funds and real estate and investment trusts, whereas in the past, it was with other people. And so increasingly, governments have allowed our housing to be commodified, as opposed to, you know, homes should be places for people to live. Even the Prime Minister recently has now started to recognize this. And so if politicians are recognizing it, we need to call them to act. And to me, the litmus test, the kind of minimum bar, if they're serious about this, is they would remove exemptions on taxation that is currently in place for these large corporate landlords. That's what I put forward with Motion 71 over a year ago. We're calling to end the tax exemption for real estate investment trusts. We've had it studied by the Parliamentary Budget Officer. It's $300 million that could be generated. Of course, if we're going to address this crisis, we need to be talking about billions. However, it is a measure that gives us a bit of a line in the sand that you would think, if we're serious about this, that we would at least remove the existing exemptions for corporate investors and take those same funds and redirect it to affordable housing providers like House of Friendship, like KW Habilitation, Beyond Housing, the Working Center. We need to help accelerate the builds that they are looking to get done. And we can do it by removing exemptions from the corporate investors that are actually deepening the crisis that we're in.
You have been listening to interviews with Acer Bonaparte of Acorn-Waterloo Region, Jordy Dent of the Federation of Metro Tenants Associations, and Green Party MP for Kitchener Centre, Mike Morris. See the links in the show notes for information about the Federal Housing Panel and Acorn's demands for addressing the housing affordability crisis. This is Dan Keller for CKMS News on 102.7 FM, Radio Waterloo. Thank you for tuning in. This program is part of the Local Journalism Initiative and is funded by the Community Radio Fund of Canada, Heritage Canada, and the CKMS Newsroom. Check out the archived versions of this program on radiowaterloo.ca/news and listen to all the LJI content at canada-info.ca. If you want to get in touch with comments or ideas about stories to cover, email us at news@radiowaterloo.ca. www.mtsa.ca.